Dr. Brass Sachs, you are on the air. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Good morning, Dr. Brass Sachs.
Good morning, Ms. Gill.
Good morning.
How are you today, ma'am?
Well, thank you.
Well, I like your opening remarks and comments. Now, my preface today, let me start by saying the supermarket is open. There's a call made for the port to open for a half day for those persons who would have barrels in the port, the foodstuff, I think, to come in and get the foodstuff
Listen to me
dispensed.
before you even go any further. People are happy, You know that saying? You know that saying that you give an
Inch and take a
inch.
yard.
People taking a mile, man.
No, but
Everybody who ain't a body, who is somebody,
I. Yeah,
has a
but
reason to be.
let me ably discuss this one with you.
By the
If
way, the port
food.
is open. And it is supplying. It is open for essential goods.
Okay.
That's what it is.
My call is particularly to have those bars. Food stuff is needed like now, we know this. So don't have those bars left there for overtime. Have some system in place, systematically done, to have those bars out to the persons. Because I can be the recipient of a tin of salmon or something, you know? So don't rob me of
So you're saying,
that.
based on what you, because I know we have a lot of advocates for people who make points on things that don't even impact them,
Okay.
So are you saying that you have a barrel in port?
No, my good friend, but I know I am stand to be a recipient of
Of one of
the
the,
contact.
oh, yes. So again, we go back to this. Listen to me.
You have an infectious laugh too, you know. I love to hear you laugh because you make a good joke, you know. I picked that up about you.
I am told that I'm corny, but I love some humor. It's good for the soul. It's very good for the soul. But don't get me upset, Don't get me
But my
upset.
friend, I can understand that. I could do it, man. I understand
Yes.
that. You same with me? Yeah.
But
Very, very
I do
famous,
have a
man.
notice. There was a notice put out by the Barbados Port Inc. And they've been constantly updating their website. If you want to go there and see what,
It's happening.
W yes, Barbados
Yeah.
Port. Sorry?
It will have to be a full day, but a part of a day and start getting get some of those barrels.
I'll make some representation for you.
Right. Thanks tremendously. Now, my main point today now would be, there was a paper in there was an article, sorry, in the Sunday Sun, March 15th, 2020, and the back page of a thing, no gouging, and I've been relentless on this gouging thing for years now, and when I hear you mentioned you went to a small village shop, et cetera. Someone made a point to me here recently, within the last 24 hours, excuse me, that there's a village shop. If a cartoon, those big cartoons are made for six something, six something.
$6.99 in Massey, $8 in the village shop.
But you can't sell a cartoon a minute for $9, though?
No, yes, you can't. No, who sells it for
No, you
nine, by the
should.
way? I
Oh,
know
you
about
should.
$8. I know about the nine.
But that's why that's something like as pronounced as that would make them call me. That is why
But think
they
about it.
call.
Just let us break it down. Let us break it down. The person who has economies of scale, like the larger supermarkets, will buy no amount of, let's just say, 20,000
Carter
cases
cases, yeah.
or cartons. Let's do the cartons.
Yeah.
Whereas the village shop would buy three cases, which probably comprise of 64 cartons.
Yeah.
64 cartons. You mean the village shop is supposed to sell it at the same price? What the margins? What are they gonna make?
The old argument that has been presented from day one, and however it is presented to me, I often make the point that if a carton of milk, and you pay, you're gonna buy it at, look,
Let's
however.
say less. No, you continue because you're talking about cost price. The person with the larger supermarket got each carton probably for $4 and can
All
sell
right.
it for $6.99 and
All
make
right.
a $2.99 profit.
Okay.
Whereas the person from the village shop who's buying less, if they buy it for the They're not going to get it for the $6 because they're not buying as much. So let's say they buy it for $7. They're actually making less because they're selling it for $2 if they sell it for $9. And we looking on as the end user saying, but this is expensive. But you know what I tell some people? If you think that you don't want to pay the extra, don't buy it from the village shop.
We understand that. The market forces will dictate that. But all I'm trying to say, whenever you establish this discussion, there's always the rebuttal. But I want to make one point in saying this. And I'm not going to renege on making this point. I am saying that how you swing, there is a juncture where price goes and sets in. And there's a juncture where there's unreasonableness, and I will maintain that. I understand your analogy and your comparative thing of 600 cartoons. I understand all that.
I think those are things that people don't think about, and they need to consider those. They have the same electricity costs, staff costs, transportation costs as the larger supermarkets, and they don't have the same economies of scale. They can't buy more for less. And that's why they usually have what we call higher prices.
At what point would you then deem it as price gouging? Where price gouging set in for you as a person then? Because I know this thing known as price gouging.
So let me give you an instance about, let's say, 3 weeks ago, before the onset of, we'd had a case or two. Actually, that was the same day, probably an exact month ago. That was the same day.
Right.
That we had our first two cases. Our first two cases came on the 17th, but the persons were tested on the 16th. And let me just finish here. And what happened? I was walking an aisle, and I observed this lady. She was pretty upset. Mm-hmm. And she called one of her girlfriends to come and see the price of some Clorox.
Right.
It wasn't Clorox, sorry, it was bleach. But it was a different brand. It wasn't Clorox, it was
a different brand.
And it normally retails at $4.35 for the size that she... But it was there for $8 and something cents. And she was upset. And she said to her colleague, you can imagine this price. And she went on and on. I was right in the aisle buying something else. And I saw that. And she said, No, I am buying it for that price. I felt her passion, I felt her emotion. Do you know that I was back in that supermarket again, probably a week later?
Yeah.
And I went back and looked specifically. Do you know the price was back down? There had to have been a mistake there for that price. It's the normal bleach went up so high.
Right.
And at that time, people were buying off the Lysols and the...
Yeah, for the sanitary.
Yes, listen, those things went off the shelf. I myself didn't even get any.
But ma'am, I want to say to you.
And that, I think, just finishing off your point, that was a clear case of either gouging or a mistake was made, but it was quickly rectified in a week's time. Okay. And if more consumers were to come to the point where they said, I am not buying it for that extra, we have the power, you know.
I love
but
that.
I find that
I can't
too
get
many people
to come around. To
no,
that.
Ma'am. If you need it, tell the truth, right? According to some people who are close to me, you think I'm gonna let $30 stop me from enjoying my shop supermarket experience and buying all the things that I need? No, nobody ain't going squeezing up in the place just to finish.
I want to move on to a couple of things quickly. But
you have to wrap it up though.
All right. Let me hear something to say. You see the government. If the government don't be careful, right? The government gonna be stand. Exploited and people can manipulate the government under the guise and the auspices of can't pay business tight. This that the government they can use government now as a you know how you use the animal of thing. So they can take government and manipulate government and exploit government and do government as like all under the auspices and the guise things tight. This that. And some of these people would be in business for some time and have good monies put by, et cetera. But everybody going to rush. I can't pay. I ain't have no money. You're going to help me. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Somebody made a point. I think it was you earlier in your discussion. If they don't be careful, everybody going to run to them and begging for assistance in this scenario. And I am saying that government needs to be definitive and carry out analysis. Do you really justify getting some assistance and don't let all on Sandra come with arms open, well, government can be free for all.
Probably the second caller who thinks that those, in fact, I wouldn't go there. But I'm going to thank you for your call. Down to brass tacks. I usually have a lot of jokes from the WhatsApps. And usually during the breaks, I take an opportunity to read some of them. Just to inform you that we have heard from our czar. He will be conferencing us at 11:30, and I'm sure many persons will have some questions. And I would also raise one of the questions that was asked earlier today. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Gill.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am very well, thank you.
I have been on for almost an hour, so I'm
holding.
Yeah,
that's normal. That's not a problem.
No problem. I'm going to make this one interesting, and because it was on from the time you were talking with Mr. Marie, and also you came right down to the subject matter of what I want to talk about this morning. But before I move into that, I want to get you familiar with what is known as the Beijing way.
You want to familiarize me a Beijing with the Beijing way?
Yeah, Beijing do things different.
From a lot different of types of Beijing, so.
And it stems from the fact that it's either your school or somewhere along the line, as far as association is concerned, that you copy the Beijing way. But that isn't what I would call about. I want to express the fact that I hope that the people at the fair trading are listening. I hope that the people who are responsible for the what they consider to be the shutdown, the curfew, are listening. Because only a few minutes ago, I heard you referring to the fact that you did order a mask from a store in Bridgetown.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that.
That you went to a store in Bridgetown?
No, I didn't say that either.
But you named a store in Swan Street, not Largo.
Right, where the inputs. The lady bought the inputs from Abed. She didn't have any, and she got them from Abed.
I am coming to the point because this matter I am associated with, and I hope that the people in the public reform sector are listening.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how it is in a situation where on the same street, and this isn't a case, Ms. Gale, of Justin, because the previous government, when they introduced what could be known as the buying, refused to allow this store to be part of it. The previous government, when duty free. Back in the time when they introduced duty free. This store I'm talking about was one of the stores on Swan Street that was not allowed to be part of that duty-free exercise.
Because they didn't do duty-free, Mark?
No, they did duty-free.
No, they didn't.
Hold on. Ms. Gale,
Talking under the auspices of the Chamber of Commerce and the Ministry of Finance when I was there?
I am talking under the time when Chris Sinclair was responsible as Minister of Finance, and the system of duty-free shopping was introduced, and there were some stores on Swan Street who was allowed to be part of that duty-free shopping, and there were others who were not part, who were not allowed
who
to be part.
Who opted out? There's no store that wanted to be a part of the duty-free day that was facilitated by the Chamber of Commerce at the time for which I was executive director. There's no store that was left out.
I'm going to name the store.
You can name the store.
It's Sewing World Department Store.
Yes, and if Sewing World did not have duty-free, they could not participate. It was for only duty-free. And at that time, not even Abed's could participate because they were not duty-free.
Abed's did participate.
Abed's opened its store and sold things, but they did not have duty-free status.
Okay, let me get to the point of interest here now. Last week I read where the government is in need of masks. In so doing, they gave a private company the right to produce, two private companies, the right to produce masks for the various government departments. These two stores I'm speaking about, and it's unfair. These two stores I'm speaking about are identical. They are into the fabrics, they're into the haberdashery, they're into the curtains, they are entered almost item for item in terms of business. I am asking this question, and I want to know if the fair trading knows about this and why it was allowed. That you had a store selling the same items, selling the same type of fabrics, selling the same type of haberdashery, elastic, and different things, and they have been refused. They have been refused to sell, open and sell any of those things, but Abez was given the permission to do it. I am saying this is not fair. It is not fair.
On the surface, it doesn't look fair, because when I first heard about it, I saw a notice on Facebook with someone up in arms about why is Abez open, are they essential? And then further down in the thread, someone said, but they're supplying the inputs for the mass. And then someone further said, so why isn't Moses? And I heard the argument, and I was wondering what happened here. And there was obviously no public pronouncement on it, so it left people to question it. So there are some legitimate queries there as to how could one store that is not an essential service be allowed to open, and another store of similar identity not be allowed to open? And no, you're raising a legitimate point, but
I'm going to let you into what I know and why I think it is not fair. The store wrote for permission. I was told that was not the department, and they were recommended to go to another office.
Mm-hmm. What happened is that they don't know who to write to. Sorry.
Well, hold on. They wrote, right? But listen to what I'm saying. Listen carefully. Mm-hmm. This is public sector reform now. Mm-hmm. That if you're employed with government, mm-hmm. if you're working with a government office, and you answer the phone, is it not fair for you to identify the department that you're in, if not your name?
I fully agree. Mm-hmm. I have a serious challenge with one of my colleagues. This is years now, and she contends.
What took place a couple of days ago. Having seen that our bed was opened and they could not open, they followed through to find out the reason. So I made contact with a lady concerning the exercise who answered the call back, because she would transfer her to the person who has the authority or not the authority. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine when that call went through? They can't deny it. The lady at the other end gave her name. The lady from Stoneware gave her name. I am Miss Gail. Miss Gail. And I'm calling in reference to XYZ. Okay, let me transfer you. The transfer was done, and the lady who took the call says, when she asked, who am I speaking to? The lady openly says these words, I don't have to give you my name. You work in a government office. You work it as far as public sector reform. And this person can tell you, I don't have to give you my name. And you and I know that the training from Glenmurray with Mr. Murray would notice that from the public sector reform. And I did my course at BIMA as far as telephone etiquette is concerned. You are supposed to identify. You're supposed to let people know who's calling. You're supposed to let people know who's answering the phone. And I had this situation. I become very annoyed in this exercise. That here it is that two stores who are in direct competition of themselves. And you know, Ms. Gail, that Barbadian women are very ambitious. No Barbadian woman who's going to buy just an ordinary mask. She can buy a mask to match her dress, to match her shoes, or she can buy the material to match her shoes, to match her dress, and to match her headpiece. Barbadian women are very creative.
Wearing masks are so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing fashionable about it. I'm looking around and I'm seeing, how could you be just breathing in hot air? I mean, it is just uncomfortable. But there's a fashion statement some people can make.
Yeah, I want to know. I want the fair trading. I want to hear from the people responsible.
So you expect to publicly get a response on that?
No, I believe that in decency, they should call the company in Swan Street, Swan World, and not only apologize, explain there was a misunderstanding. You can't have one store down the street selling the same thing. Okay. And having people actually doing what is expected to do, stand up 6 feet apart, that's all right. But the same thing could be done up Swan Street. And I'm saying these things because if you listen to my voice, I'm hurt. I believe in fair play. I believe that everybody in this time is entitled to a position and a position to see in our brother's situation. But to tell me you're going to disadvantage one store is not fair, Lisa.
Okay.
So that's why I'm calling on the fair trading. And there's a lady at the fair trading who I know is very active. Mm-hmm. And I believe that somewhere along the line, she should be able to call Sewing World and speak to and hear more of it. I know a lot of it, but I don't think that I would want to detail everything in this phone call because you have already spoken about your approach for the mask, and somewhere along the line, masks has now become that women are making their own masks, so they want to buy the elastic. They want to buy the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be able to be part of their exercise because, as you said, some of these masks that are not made for, to be worn. They're made for some people to just take up forms.
Just take a picture, not to
stay
on for too long.
It's not. I'm going to come off now. What I'm concerned about is that I want the same public sector reform to tell me how it is that somebody working in a senior office at government headquarters, responsible, could tell a caller who identified themselves, I am such and such a person. I called her, and then when she said what she was calling about, tell her, well, I don't have to give you my name. I don't have to give you my name. That is not fair. You work in government. You treat the people of this country with respect. You tell the people of this country that you're proud of where you're working and you're proud for the government of which you're working, not to sit down there and say, well, I don't know about this, I don't care about this, I don't. And that is not fair.
Everybody's not of that ilk, unfortunately.
Well, that is true.
That is the sad reality.
In closing, I am very hurt to think that. And the issue, I can go back to, which I wouldn't want to debate with you, the same store was back then was a member of duty free shopping at the time. At the first time, they were not involved, but there were two occasions it was done. And the second time on Swan Street was Mr. Bernstein's store, Abbey's, and Sewing World. But there were different only so.
I can't speak to that which I know, and I. I will end here by saying that we sent a notice to all of the companies in Bridgetown about the duty-free day that we had facilitated, ably facilitated by the Honorable Chris Sinclair at that time. And there was no entity that was a duty-free store that was disallowed by any action on the part of government or the chamber. We manned it. We are the ones who asked for permission for it. Of course, there were larger beneficiaries than others. But if a company was not a duty-free company, then they could not have participated and benefited. But thank you so much for your contribution. Dr. Brassatz, we will be joined very shortly by the COVID-19 czar, Mr. Richard Carter, and I'm sure he will be providing us with an update on where we are in Barbados in terms of our numbers. If you have any questions or queries, I would expect you to give us a call, and I will route you. We can have a quick discussion. He will probably give us about an hour or so. So if you can kindly focus your discussion on those types of questions, I think that will be useful. But if you do have another question or you've been on here, I would facilitate you very quickly. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. We'll go to the phone lines until we make a connection with Mr. Carter. Thank you for holding. Good morning.
Are you going out Sunday again?
If I am going out on Sunday?
But you're not scared.
If I'm not scared?
Yeah, because...
Are you talking to me, Miss?
Miss, yeah. Okay, I'm calling you, Roy. Yeah. Hello?
Hi, sorry? Good morning.
It's me, Wayne.
You're
sorry,
calling Ross Sachs and having other conversations?
No, young lady? No. No, yeah, I was talking to my fish man. You know, so anyway, what I'm saying... You know, I'm fed up with these people coming in and complaining and putting down the government. I'm telling you, listen to me, any government in and doing what they're doing, like...
I don't think they're putting down the government. I think people have different perspectives. So when they share their views, I wouldn't see that as necessarily putting down the government. But I know there are some persons who have some political axe to grind, and they do try to grind them. Fortunately, I'm not a grinder, and I may not facilitate them, but people will have legitimate discussions to share and have, and they will have viewpoints that are different from what a policy may be facilitated by government or proposed by government. You're still there? Oh, you dropped out. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, fine. My favorite call brought me out once more. Last week he had this, the last time he spoke.
We talking about today though, we dealing with the last week.
No, ma, I just let me make the point to you, see where I'm going. Okay. Last week, when he spoke to you, My favorite caller, Mr. Murray.
Okay.
My favorite caller, Mr. Murray. He spoke about, he wanted a press conference every day.
I dealt with Mr. Murray on that, sir. You want to deal with what you want to deal with?
Yeah, but I'm not dealing with him.
Well, please don't repeat what we, please let's not be repetitive in this discussion. You're not there anymore? Something seems to be awry. Down to brass tacks, you're on the air. So we have made our connection. Good morning, Mr. Carter.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Gale.
Good morning. A pleasure to talk to you. And I'm sure you have an update for us on where we are in Barbados as it relates to COVID-19 and to answer some queries from our persons in Brass Tacks land.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Yes, sir. So could you kindly tell us where we are in terms of the numbers?
Yes, and let me preface this with something that I've said about 3 or 4 times now. I know people are very interested in numbers, but I've said a couple of times that there's one number that matters, and we had that number about a month ago. Yes. So, and that number was our first case.
Yes.
But for those people who are really concerned about where we are in terms of the trajectory of the epidemic, as of yesterday, we have 75 persons testing positive for COVID-19 in Barbados. We have had 5 deaths. I believe these numbers have been reported already. And we have, I believe it is 15 people who have been discharged, having recovered from COVID-19. And by recovered, I mean they have had 2 consecutive negative tests over a 48-hour period. So that is where we are currently. All of the other persons, if you subtract the 15 and the 5 from the 75, so that leaves, 55? Those persons remain in isolation.
Okay, so that's 55 in isolation. All those are ending in 5s.
Yes.
I picked up that last night and I laughed.
It so happens.
Yes, and that was actually the 15th of April, so that's another 5. I saw it last night and I smiled. I said, interesting. Okay, so we've had, of course, a very fluid situation. Things have changed. Within the last month, we are seeing a different Barbados. A lot has transpired. I'm sure there have been numerous meetings, multiple decisions to be made, and you've been at the core of all of this, trying to advise and guide so that we come out of this crisis like a country. What can I ask you, or should I ask you, I should say, what are some of those perennial challenges that you're facing as these are more so now that we are at this last stage, given the implementation of the last names for persons to return to the supermarket?
Overall, I think the biggest challenge has been trying to balance the need for the public health, from a public health perspective, the need to balance the restrictions that have had to be put in place, restrictions on people's movement, restrictions on the use of a range of services, and in fact, the closure of some of those services. So balancing that against the obvious need of people to have access to the basics and therefore have access to food, first of all, because if people do not have access to food, then everything else falls apart. So that has been an important balancing act for us. We've tried a number of things. The new alphabetized system that we have put in place since yesterday is the newest approach to restrict the movement of people to a particular segment of the population based on their surname, which hopefully will reduce the amount of traffic on the road, because people really should only be on the road for the purposes of either doing their shopping, going to the bank or the hardware, or seeking medical treatment if they're outside of the emergency services. The little blip with the double barrel surname, I didn't realize that would have exercised so much attention and response from the public of Barbados. Let me just say again, as I've said a couple of times, that the proposal is to use the second name in a double barrel surname. So if you are Blackman Gollop, you use the Gollop. And the reason for that is that it is more than likely that most women who have a double barrel surname would have taken the second part of that surname from their husband, who, if he's living in the same household, the objective of reducing the movement to one person per household who is going to do the shopping would make sense to use that surname that they share in common, mm-hmm. rather than to use the first name, which would mean that you would have 2 days times two instances, yes. which would be 4 instances of persons on the road.
More
so
exposure.
I hope that is straightforward.
It is straightforward. One comment on the... just was going to ask you a question in relation to that. It has slipped me. In relation to the name, there was just a... So even as I envisage, we were trying to reduce exposure, bottom line. That's the objective, for persons to stay away from any potential, you know, contraction of anything. Now, we have a scenario where persons believe that they must have all 96 of the items that they probably buy every single month. And I, you can't overstress, if you only have 60 of the things, or let's use a smaller number, if you only have 10 of the things out of the 20 things that you use, can you do without and wait until next week to go into the supermarket? How can you consistently stress that for people who are putting themselves and their family members at risk? I just remembered what it was I was going to ask you, and it is, you don't need 3 or 4 people from the same house going to the supermarket. You probably only need 2 people.
Don't.
You don't. And I've heard of scenarios where whole families went yesterday and persons took turns in who's staying in the line and that kind of thing. People are not aware. They're putting themselves at risk on a consistent basis. Can we say something to encourage them to stay off the roads?
I don't know how to say it any different to how it has been said so many countless times before. The stark reality is that Barbados, like many other parts of the world, is trying to deal with an unprecedented situation that has been presented to us by COVID-19. For those persons who have a belief in their own immortality, I think the evidence is right there in front of us that people have died from this. We've had 5 deaths in Barbados. We've had dozens of deaths of Barbadians elsewhere,
yes,
in the world.
Yes.
Up until today, we probably have in excess of 100,000 persons that have died, and this is people who have been tested and confirmed to have had COVID, because many more are likely to have died outside of those. So the fact of this being a very serious issue is there in front of everybody.
Yes.
We have seen mass burials in New York City. We've seen refrigerated trucks being lined up. We've seen gymnasiums being turned into temporary morgues just to accommodate people. We've seen people being buried without or dying and being buried without having to have family members around them.
Yes.
All of these are things that are waiting on our doorstep.
So could it be
continue to flout the rules?
Yes. Yeah. Could it be that your messaging that suggests become there's no community spread, could that be the reason why people are being so callous with their behavior?
I don't think so, because the risk, we have not identified community spread as yet. Mm-hmm. We've asked people to be calm because the panic is to induce behavior that is counterproductive. So we've asked people to be calm, but to follow the public health advice. The public health advice has always been, and this has not changed, avoid exposure by minimizing the times that you have to leave your house. And I've said, imagine that COVID is outside of your doorstep. Every time you step beyond that doorstep, you are potentially exposing yourself.
Yes.
And so it can't be made any clearer. I don't think there is any challenge with Barbadians understanding the directive. I think those people who are floating them because they believe that they have a right to flout directives. And let me just remind people that it is not just this is not just disobedience of some directives or some measures that have been articulated by the public health authorities. This is the law. These measures have been passed into law, and I have in front of me the Emergency Management Curfew Directive 2020, signed into law by the Prime Minister on the 14th of April 2020. Mm-hmm. So this has the force of law, and anybody who breaches what is laid down here in the law can be or will be guilty of an offence and can face the consequences of that. Mm-hmm. Now, the Royal Barbados Police Force and the other security forces have a big job on their hands in terms of maintaining the security of the country. And they really at this time should not be bothered by running after people who are prepared to breach every directive that is given simply because it is there.
It's a waste of resources.
It is a complete waste of resources. It is putting the members of our protective services at risk. People, even the simple thing like people seeking to go into supermarkets and taking an entire family to go and shop for 20 items,
yes.
They are placing those persons who are the cashiers and working in the supermarket, the other people who are in the line, mm-hmm. at additional risk and at additional exposure.
What I would ask is if we can call on those persons who are younger in the family to assist those senior citizens with the shopping. I saw some feedback last night where someone said a lot of the persons that were in the lines were older. Where are the family members? Why can't somebody choose to assist a grandparent or a parent, for that matter, or an aunt or a neighbor, to assist them with their shopping, if they're going to do shopping, and, you know, of course, if they have a vehicle, even more, try to assist.
Yeah.
So that it calls on that humanness, that selflessness, where persons can give of themselves a little bit more to help another person so that that person can avoid being in the line. It really calls for that. It really, really
yeah,
does.
Yeah, and we have asked for that from the very beginning. We have asked, because one of the very first steps, actually, that the government took was to try to protect its senior citizens because of the recognition of the fact that these people are at particular vulnerability when it comes to COVID-19. Many of them have the underlying conditions, but many of them, by reason of their age, are unable to fight off a disease like COVID-19, which a younger person would be able to shrug off. So we've asked from the very beginning. We've placed restrictions on visits to elderly care facilities. We've asked persons to have an eye out, as we say in Barbados, for their elderly relatives or even elderly folk who are living with them in the community.
Yes.
We've asked persons to do the shopping for persons who are elderly. I would imagine that on the day that is set aside for for elderly persons. Elderly persons would use that day rather than to use a simple the day of their surname to shop, because that is a day that has been set aside. That itself has its public health challenges, because you're bringing large numbers of elderly persons into one place. But there is really no other or no better way that we can see. But all of these things are going to be reviewed. They're going to be the subject of review. I heard persons asking as of yesterday for further adjustments to be made to the restrictions that have been put in and the measures that have been put in place without even one full day of it having been run. And we must give these things time to work, because I would imagine that persons whose surnames would have begun with, I think, it is C to F, who were eligible to shop yesterday, mm-hmm. and who will again be eligible to shop on Saturday afternoon, that the numbers of persons shopping on Saturday afternoon should be less, because a lot of people would have been without the opportunity to shop for a couple of days and would have rushed out yesterday. Mm-hmm. So everybody will have 2 days within the course of a week to shop.
Could you kindly expound on the one for senior citizens? Because I'm getting a message here that some of these senior citizens are confused. And I know there was a separate day for senior citizens. So if you do you have access to that?
I have the document here before me, which lists the days. So the days that are set aside for seniors and persons with disabilities are Tuesday, mm-hmm. 8 to 11. So Tuesday, 8, and this is for the supermarket and the fish market hardware mm-hmm. stores and so on. I believe the banking hours are a bit longer than that. So mm-hmm. Tuesdays, 8 to 11, mm-hmm. and on Sundays, 9 to 11. Okay. Those are the times that are set aside for the seniors and persons with disabilities.
So I wonder if a person, they may be having a double bite at the cherry as well, basically.
Because
if you are a senior citizen and you go 8 to 11 on Tuesday and 9 to 11 on Sunday, but you are a B, a D, a G, you can go on Thursday as well.
And we are discouraging. That is
I know we are discouraging.
So because we have set aside a particular day for seniors because we want to minimize their exposure because of the vulnerability I spoke earlier. Mm-hmm. We want to minimize their exposure to to the population generally.
Yes. And because we know of the scenario with the comorbidities and the high immunity or low immunity of persons who are of an older age. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask persons from the phone lines to join and ask any questions for our COVID czar, Mr. Richard Carter. Good morning, you're on the air. Remember, it is 11:51. Dr. Bastax, good morning. 11:53. Dr. Bastax, good morning. You are on the air. I'm hoping that we can hear our Brass Tax callers. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have a call. You have a query for our COVID czar?
I just want a clarification or something.
Sure.
Yes. I find that I went to pay my Shopee bill at the supermarket, but they're telling me I have to get the same long line as those who want to buy groceries.
Yes, I heard that, and I heard
think
that.
What they should have these two people at one time to pay their bills. Make sure when that person leave the line, they go back out the store.
Yeah, you can't police that person.
They do not use it as a ploy to get into the store.
Some people do that. I saw someone compromise. Yes,
they stand by a long line. I mean, all they want is my Shopee bills pay.
Well, do you have the other places where Shopee can? Let me share those with you,
I have those other places, but all have the same system. Which to me is nonsense.
No, there are some places that only have Shopee. Or you prefer...
Tell me they only have Shopee. I live in St. Philip, I live in Emerald City.
Right, you went into a supermarket where there are long lines.
Right, they got a lot of long lines. They may have some long lines.
Yeah, you drive? Do you drive?
Lines. Yes.
Well, there is also another supermarket here in Christchurch, Montrose Supermarket, Kingsland.
I'm sure Shopee bills only.
Kingsland, but I don't know if they have that same system.
Lisa, I believe the SurePay at the Montrose supermarket, I believe that is detached from the actual supermarket.
Well, that'd
so
be lovely.
You may actually be able to use that line without having to join the supermarket line.
Okay, great. So, sir, I'm glad that you were able to get a positive response. As you said, you have a vehicle. Thank you so much. Dr. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Gill.
Hi, good morning. Do you have any queries for our COVID czar?
Yes, I have two questions for Mr. Carter. First, Mr. Carter, I believe the grocery store shall open to 8 to 4. 'Cause 8 to 3, 3 hours, that too short. Right?
Yes. That's
my second question is, why did you wait until the 22nd to start the testing instead of the 1st of March to do the testing? And then you have to go back from the 11th to the 22nd.
22nd of which month, ma'am?
March.
They didn't start from the 22nd, but I'm sure the COVID's
are start from the 22nd to do the testing. So I want to know why he didn't start from the beginning of March, because they do the training in February.
The 22nd of March is after the first case.
Let Mr. Carter answer.
Yes, he will.
Okay, so your first thing was not actually a question. It was a statement. You're believing that the grocery store should be open from 8 to 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The discussion around the opening times was had with all of the retailers and distributors of supermarkets, the private sector agencies, and the unions, who were all part of that discussion. The decision was made on the basis of that discussion with the retailers and distributors in terms of what would work. It is going to be reviewed over the next couple of days, and if we find that it is needed to be adjusted, then it will be adjusted.
Okay.
On the question of the testing, Barbados started its testing for COVID-19 in February.
Yes, ever since February.
It started its testing in February. To date, we have concluded over 900 tests for COVID-19. So for the first couple of days, probably more than a week, we had no cases. The first case, I think, was diagnosed around the 16th. So we started our test the 16th of March. So we started our testing for COVID-19 back in February.
But I mean to say, why you went back to the 11th? Hello?
No, you
I don't have that question. I answered a question, Lisa. Don't wear me off.
You said you had two questions. And
no, I got the same question.
Just calm down. We have two questions. You had two questions for which I gave you. We have to take a break. Thank you so much for your call.